The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciple, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord God.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite the children to come up. Come on, Calvin. Good morning. Oh, boy. I mean, I know it's overcast out and it's going to rain soon, and it means you can't go out and play like I'm sure you did yesterday. But good morning. Wow, you guys are just out. Okay, I get it. What would you like brand new?
A puppy dog.
A puppy dog.
A kitty.
A kitty. What would you like brand new?
A new bed.
A new bed. What else? What would you like brand new?
Metal.
Anything, Sky, that you would love brand new? Flowers, brand new flowers. Yeah. And so in our Revelation text, there is something that God wants, and God wants it to be brand new, and God makes it brand new. And so God makes a new heaven and a new earth. But the thing that's even more important than that is that for that to happen, God comes with us. And so I know you think that heaven sometimes, when you hear about it, is this faraway place and something that you can't think about. But God actually comes and lives with us and dwells with us and hangs out with us so that we can have this new life, this new thing, new puppy dogs and new kitties and all the new flowers and everything that would make God happy and smile, and our new lives in Christ. God makes all of that happen. And so think about it when you're out and you're watching things grow, that this perfection that's growing, God wants that everywhere. So think about what it might look like to have all of those things all at once and how amazing that will be. Amen. Go in peace. Oh, yeah. So remember, I gave you that little trigger warning. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. God loves fetuses. And so Jesus is sitting with his disciples and having one of these last conversations with them. And in this last portion of what we've read today, he says, "They will know you are my disciple if you love one another like I have loved you." And so I've put together this general thesis of what it means. That the only true mark of discipleship to Christ is agape love with one another. This love that hopes and dreams, yet it also admonishes and reprimands for the sake of God's preferred future in the here and now. You hear that? So agape love both hopes and dreams, but it also admonishes and reprimands for God's preferred future in the here and now. And so God loves fetuses. God loves fetuses so much that he is disappointed with us. He's disappointed with us because last year in Indiana, there were 17,863 public school-aged children who experienced homelessness. God is not happy with us. God is not happy with us because even though parents might be bringing their children to our southern border, we can do better to care for them while we deal with the parents and the way that they're going through our legal system. We should not be putting children in cages. They should not have to deal with the extreme heat of our southern border because their parents, whether legally or not, are fleeing the country they're from. God has these hopes and these dreams for us. But remember, this agape love comes with admonishment and reprimand as well. And so God loves fetuses. And so he wonders why we have hungry children in one of the greatest, most powerful nations ever created. A nation that claims itself every time I turn on the TV that we are a Christian nation, and yet we have children who go hungry. We try to cut programs that go to schools to feed these hungry children. But God loves fetuses. God loves fetuses, yet we can see every single time there's a school shooting, somehow either that person does something horrible to themselves or the police are able to take that person out unharmed. And yet police can drive up on the scene of a young boy playing in a park and in under a second decide that that child needs to lose his life. But God loves fetuses. God loves fetuses, and yet parents can hear their child sitting with them with tears in their eyes and say that I'm gay, and their response is to kick that child to the street. Whether they believe that this is God's will or not. But God loves fetuses. God loves fetuses, but we can't figure out how we can keep our children safe in schools. And so we have to put more and more measures in place to keep doors locked. That I grew up in the inner city where there were even metal detectors at doors. But I can't imagine Harrison or McCutcheon with metal detectors at the doors. But is that where we are? To keep our children safe? Because the people that are shooting them are their peers. But God loves fetuses. But God loves fetuses. God loves fetuses intensely. And so when a mother has to sit with a doctor, and the doctor comes back and says, the life inside of you is going to have a painful life, if any life at all. That mother should be allowed to make the most painful decision she will ever make in her life. That when a mother sits after someone has done something horrible to her, and she has to make one of the hardest decisions she will ever make in her life, she should be allowed to make that decision. Now, I was going to go off here on this huge Martin Luther Two Kingdoms tangent, but I'm going to spare you that. I'm going to spare you that because most of you know where I was going to go with it. There is this deep concern in the life of our country, the same deep concern that Luther had in his day, that Christ had as he talked to the Pharisees and the scribes, that often us folk push on others those very things we disregard and don't do ourselves. That we often treat the other with other ways and don't hold ourselves up to these same standards. And so it's like, Pastor Mike, where are you going to? Where are you getting at? And so here's where I'm going to. I have this hope and this dream that 7,000 number of homeless students, people, young people who experienced homelessness, will be drastically reduced in the future of our state. And we can change that. I have this hope and dream that we can treat children at our southern border in better ways. We can do this. I have this hope and dream that we can take care of the hungry children who show up to schools in our state and our nation, and that we can feed them. I know firsthand we have people in here who participate in backpack programs, who send those kids home with food for the weekend because otherwise they might not eat. But we can still do better. I have this hope and this dream that we can respond to one another no matter what our skin tone is. And that if those with light skin tones can be taken alive after doing horrible things, those with darker skin tones can be given that same respect of life and be taken alive to face our justice system the same way. I have this hope and this dream that a young person can sit with their parents, no matter what their religious beliefs are, and tell them what is in their heart. Tell them how they are feeling. And that those parents can feel a moment of the Holy Spirit in them and love them. Love them where they are and find out how they feel this way, learn where they are, and make this journey with them. I have this hope and this dream that in this love, this God-filled love, that our students can go to school and not have to wait to be buzzed in, not have to go through metal detectors, not have to fear that one of their peers might shoot them. And I have this hope and this dream that when a woman faces probably one of the hardest things she may ever face in her life, she can face that with her and her doctor and her Lord, and we as a government can stay out of it. I have this hope and this dream. But this isn't about me and my hopes and my dreams. This is about the church. This is about how we share love and show that agape love to the world. And so you have power in this. You have voice in this. You can share your hopes and your dreams with those people you elect to political office. And you also can share your admonishments as well. Do you have friends who live in states who just changed laws? Do you have friends who live at the southern border states? You can have communication with them, and you can affect change. We're about to sing a hymn. And verse 5 reads, "Together met, together bound by all that God has done, will go with joy to give the world the love that makes us one, the love that makes us one. It is in this love that we end homelessness, that we remove children from cages, that children don't go hungry, that people are treated equally, that love is given, that children are safe in schools. It is in this love that we go out with together that we live as Christ first loved us, that we reflect that, and that we live out this true mark of discipleship to Christ in this agape love with one another. What are your hopes? And what are your dreams? What are your hopes and what are your dreams? And what in this world do you wish to admonish? Live out your discipleship in Christ and respond to those things in the here and the now. Amen.